If everyone can move towards the middle, it's easier than going back and forth. If everyone can try to... Towards the end of Sfiras HaOmer, when the Torah speaks about Sfiras HaOmer, it mentions something that we don't talk about so much. Why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? So the Torah says, "Usfartam lachem imacharas haShabbos miyom aviyachem es Omer haTznufa." What we're counting is since the bringing of the Korban HaOmer haTznufa, we're counting 7 weeks since then. What's the Korban HaOmer? Chazal say the Korban HaOmer is brought from Seorim, from barley, that the Kohen would take a handful of the barley and put it on the Mizbeach and be makrivit. We count 7 weeks later. Ad mimakras haShabbos haShvi'is tisbruch chamishim yom v'kraftem mincha chadasha laHashem. And then, on Shavuos, when Shavuos comes, you're bringing another, a new Korban mincha, a different one, which Chazal say is the Korban Shtei Alechem. This was brought from flour, from wheat flour, that was baked and made into 2 loaves of bread. And that's what they would bring to the Mizbeach. So what's the significance of the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer, bringing the Korban HaOmer from barley, and then ending up with something made out of wheat flour, and baked into bread? What's the connection between the bread and Shavuos, and barley, and when they left Mitzrayim? And what's also confusing is that Bnei Israel counted the Omer even despite the bringing of these Korbanos. Even when they first left Mitzrayim, they didn't have the Mishkan, they weren't bringing Korbanos, they weren't able to bring a Korban Mincha before, not a Korban Mincha afterwards. They were still counting Sfiras HaOmer because they were anticipating the giving of the giving of the Torah. So clearly Sfiras HaOmer is anticipating and looking forward towards the giving of the Torah. So what does that connect with specifically the bringing of a Korban from barley? The bringing of a korban from loaves of wheat. The Gemara in Pesachim on Gimel Amud Beis talks about how a person shouldn't be the bearer of bad news. If you have to give bad news, it's better to give it in more of like a roundabout way. So Gemara gives an example of somebody that asked, "How did the wheat do this season? How did the wheat grow?" And it happened to be that season the wheat didn't grow well. So he said, the barley did well. So he answers, "Say ubaser lesusim v'lachamorim." Go tell that to the horses and the donkeys. Because horses and donkeys eat barley. Human beings eat wheat flour. The Mishnah in Sota explains, why is it that an Isha Sota who had yichud with another man and was suspected by her husband beforehand, now she's being brought to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the sota waters. So she also brings a mincha seorim, a korban mincha from barley. Why is she bringing it from barley? V'gamliel omer, k'shem shema'aseha ma'ase behema, kach korbana ma'achal behema. Just like her actions, the way she was promiscuous with men, that was an act of a behema, so her korban should be brought from the food of a behema, which is seorim, which is barley. When the Jews left with Mitzrayim, we know they were on the 49th level of Tumah. They would like the Goyim. The Malachim that would look at them said to Hashem, what's the difference between them and them? They were on a very low level. So they have to thank Hashem for leaving Mitzrayim, but they're bringing a mincha seorim, a mincha from seor, from barley, because on the level of like a behema. 49 days later, after 49 days of preparing themselves for Matan Torah and working on themselves, they became people, like a ben adam. And now when they bring a korban, they bring it from shtei alechem, from the food of human beings. They went from being an animal, which is where they were holding when they left Mitzrayim, towards being a human being. And that's why their korban now came from a new place. It came from flour, which and it was baked. It wasn't just grains the way that animals would to chew it. Preparing for Torah means going from a state of being like an animal and becoming a human being. And only such a person could the Torah be given to. Only such a person could celebrate the receiving and the accepting of the Torah. What's the difference between an animal and a human being? There's a famous story of somebody that Rav Elie Apliyahu went to one of his Tamidim and he said, what's Bechira Chafshis? What's free will? So the boy looked at the Rebbe like, oh, that's obvious. That a man could do what he wants to do. If he wants to do something, he does it. If he doesn't want to do something, he doesn't do it. Man has free will. He could do what he wants. So Rav Elie Apliyahu said to him, what do you mean? That an animal also could do. Animal does exactly what he wants. An animal desires a certain food, for sure going to eat it. An animal wants that female animal, it's for sure going to go after her. An animal doesn't want to go over there, he's not going to go over there. So that's no difference between a human being and an animal. A human being is someone, the only creature that's able to not do what he wants to do and to make himself do what he doesn't want to do. To do what he doesn't want to do and to not let himself do that which he does want to do. That's only a human being could do, and an animal can't do that. The Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedland, the discusses how psychologists nowadays, some psychologists have an apikorsis view, one that is based on kfira, that theoretically, if we were to know all the nature and nurture of a human being, all the genetic material that's in him and understand it, and know all the experience that he ever went through, we could basically predict every decision that he's going to make, because everybody is just a product of their genetic makeup and what they've been exposed to throughout their life, and you could guess what that person who has all that baggage would decide in each scenario. And therefore, man isn't really accountable or doesn't really need to feel guilty for the actions that they do. So Chaim Friedland says, first of all, these same people who come up with such a theory, if they're going to receive a reward for that theory, they feel very proud of themselves and they go up onto the stage smiling because they take a lot of credit for the accomplishments that they have. It's only to free themselves of sinful behavior they might do. That's when they like to say we don't have free will, we're just a product of our drives. But when it comes to taking credit, that they don't see themselves as just a product of their genetic makeup. But then he says also, but the truth is, they're even right about themselves. Because a human being may go through his entire life never using free will, always just doing what he wants to do and not doing what he doesn't want to do. Something's hard, not do it. Something's desirable, something sensational, run after it, satiate himself with that thing. And he can go through his entire life with very predictable decisions that he makes. There's an option in front of him. Learn in the Beis Midrash, go to Shalvata, whatever his club in Tel Aviv. It's clear what an animal is going to choose to do. An animal is going to go after what his desires are. I want to do that? Of course I'm going to do that. That's hard. That's boring. That's annoying. That's difficult. That requires self-discipline. That's not what my drives are pulling me after. But such a person is making a decision of an animal. A person goes through his entire life with animal-like decisions. He's a human animal, maybe more developed, maybe smarter brain, but he's being a human animal, never using the human quality of free will and free choice, of self-control. Self-control means making oneself do what they don't want to do and not letting themselves do the things that they do want to do. That's something that only a human being is able to do, and only such a person is ready to receive the Torah. There was somebody that came to Rav Shalom Shadron, a bacher. I mean, he wanted to go to Tel Aviv or to town or somewhere sick. And he said, can I go? He asked for permission, can I go there? So he said, I'll let you go if you answer one question. What would you rather be? Would you rather be a human being or an animal? So the guy said, a human being for sure. Why would you want to be a human being? And he starts to describe the life of a human being. And then Rav Shalom Shadron responded to him, what do you mean? Think about it. Human being, yeah, you have kids, but you know how hard it is raising kids? And Parnassa, how hard we work with Parnassa? And we're sick all the time, and we don't feel well all the time. And if you look at any family, everybody's suffering. A human being's life is very difficult from beginning to end, filled with worries, filled with issues. And if you look at the animals, they look pretty relaxed, pretty chill. The Gemara in Shabbos says that the richest being on this world is a pig. A pig has everything that he wants. He's the richest, happiest. It's all right in front of him. Easy access to it. So if you look at the animals in the zoo, they look pretty relaxed. Once they have their food, they're good to go until the next day. They don't seem bored. They don't seem bothered. They don't seem worried. Nothing doesn't look like anything hurts them too often. So it looks like the life of an animal is much more chill, much nicer and happier than the life of a human being. But which do you want to do? And who I heard telling this over said that Rav Shon Shadron painted the picture so well that the guy actually started to cry and said, I want to be an animal. So he said, don't worry, you are. Because he wanted to go to a club. Someone asked a Rav, why is it that we make a bracha, shelo asani isha, shelo asani aved, shelo asani goy? Why don't we make the bracha, shelo asani behema? So the Rav said, because it might be a bracha levatala. It's up to you. You may act like a behema, you may not act like a behema. When a behema acts like a behema, that's healthy and normal. When a human being acts like a behema, that's terrible. And therefore, you can't make everybody the bracha shlo asani behema, because who said he's going to act like a human being or like a behema? There's another bracha that Rav Shach says. Why do we say shlo asani goy? Why do we say asani Yisrael? Why do we say shlo asani goy? We say thank you Hashem for making me a Yisrael. So Rav Shach said, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has you born not a goy, you have to make yourself a Yisrael. You could be born not a guy, but to be a Yisrael takes work, takes effort. It takes overcoming challenges and fighting and pushing and working and going against resistance. It's not something just you're born into it. You're born into not being a guy. Yisrael, you have to work for. Somebody once said, but it's hard for me. It's hard to learn. It's hard to not do this. It's hard. So, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to present the Torah to the other nations of the world, he would go to them. And they would say, ah, lo tirtzach, the Arab said, it's too hard. But to another nation, maybe the Americans, I don't know, lo tinaf, no, it's too hard, we can't. Too hard is a goyish response. It's a goyish answer when the Torah is being offered to you. The Jew said, hard, not hard, nasa benishma. I'm not deciding what I'm doing based on if it's hard or if it's not hard. That's an animal decides what he's going to do. Is this pulling me? Is this pulling my drives? Is it not pulling my... That's how animals decide. The Jewish people stood up and said, not hard, not hard, that's irrelevant. Nasa benishma, we're doing what's emes. You want to be a Jew. You want to be not just a shalom asani goy, but asani Yisrael. A Jew doesn't look at whether it's hard or not hard. He looks at whether it's right or it's wrong, whether it's emes or whether it's sheker. An animal can't get himself out of bed to accomplish things. If he's tired, he'll stay sleeping. Leave me alone. He'll get angry, maybe bite the person that's getting in the way of his sleep, and be annoyed and angry at those that want to cut into his sleep. But a human being knows that there's a time that you wake up and you start your day. That's a human way to act and a human way to behave. An Ava Rabba that we say every morning is an interesting lashon. It says, "Avinu Av Ha'av Harachaman Hamarachim Rachem Aleinu." Steinemann points out that we don't find in any tefillah, in anything that we ask for anywhere, in all the tefillos, so much begging, so much calling upon the rachamim of Hashem, as we find here in this book of Avar Abba. Our Father, our merciful Father, the one who has mercy, have mercy upon us. When a person is davening to Hashem to ask Him for Torah, to learn Torah, to keep Torah, to enjoy Torah, to understand Torah, he has to daven like you're begging with all the mercy in the world. You're begging for your life. You're begging to be a human being and not an animal. When you daven for Torah, you daven like your life depends on it, because your life does depend on it. Because a life like a human being that lives like a behemoth is a worthless life, not having been worth being born. And for a human being to live with the present that Hashem gave him, of a mind and a brain that's so capable and a heart that's so able and so powerful, to take that and use it and live like an animal, to make predictable decisions, to just go after your drives or whatever excites you, and to ridicule the opposite, so that's a life that's not worth being born into. That's a waste of all that tremendous kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to a person. That's like buying an expensive machine, bringing it to your house, never using it, and just like loading tons of other things upon it. That's not using it for what it was created for. Rav Ades from the yeshiva called Yaakov in Beit Vegan, his son was here leading the tefillahs for Caleb earlier in the year. So he says that if somebody were to come to you and ask you, I'll give you one thing in the world. You have one wish and you are going to have that. The Jewish response is, the initial reaction, we have to build ourselves to be such people, that our initial and immediate response is, Achat sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avake shifti beveis Hashem. That one question, David HaMelech had all the wealth, all the riches, all everything in the world. But the wish that we should have at the top of our head, the thing that we want most, more than anything else, because it's what gives us our life purpose and meaning, and the reason why we're here is, Hashem, I want to be close to you. Hashem, I want to learn and know your Torah. And if I don't have that, then I don't have a life. I don't have a life. So we daven for Torah like we daven for our lives. And going into Shavuos, you can go to I heard a mashal, Rav Elimelech Biderman was saying, that there was somebody who came to Rosh Hashiva and said, I'm looking for somebody for my daughter. So he showed him, oh, this is a very good guy. He told the guy, you know, I'd like you to be my son-in-law, and I'll take care of you like this, and you could learn. Somehow he got him to agree. I don't think this story actually ever happened, just a mashal. So he bought him clothes, and he got him an apartment. And then, you know, the guy said, well, can I meet your daughter? I don't have a daughter. You don't have a daughter? Yeah, I see everybody walking with their sons-in-laws around, and it's just so nice. I also want a son-in-law. Like, I just want you to be my son-in-law. That's ridiculous to have all that but be missing the kala. And be missing the bride. To go into Shavuos, dress all nicely, come sit in the base, you know, overnight or whatever it is, and get to eat the, you know, walk to the kotel and get some yummy cheesecake or whatever it is. So yeah, it's like going to the wedding, but there's no kala of the Torah that you're marrying and accepting. So what type of wedding? It's a ridiculous wedding. Ridiculous. Who needs you? If a person were to be planning the night after the wedding, tells he's planning already from before that the next morning, the night after the wedding night, I'm going on a trip with the guy, with my guy friends to the beach. So what type of marriage is that? What type of relationship is that between the chassan and the kala? If he's leaving, and she doesn't even know he's planning all these things, and then she says, oh, then you know, the next morning, oh, I'm going out, you know, to the beach with my guy friend. Have a good day. Maybe I'll meet you at Shevet Brachos or the third Shevet Brachos, second Shevet Brachos. There was no wedding there. There was no marriage there. He just took what he wanted, cheesecake, and then went to have a party. The idea of Shavuos is Kabbalah Satorah. We're accepting it. We're not just like keeping a nice holiday. This is what we do, Shavuos night. We stay up all night and learn, and then go back to our regular scheduled lives. No one needs you to learn the whole night. No one needs such a chasen or kala under the chuppah. That's a fake wedding. If you're going into a chasana, then you're going into marry, make a commitment to the other side. And it's a commitment that to live a life with it, that like an animal, is not worth anything at all. Just to maybe end on another note. There's we bring shtei alechem on Shavuos. And the Maharal asks, why lechem? Why chametz? Here it was, just so recently, chametz was the Yetzahara, chametz was the Satan, get rid of it, get it out of your house, don't find even a crumb of it in your house. And we know from Chazal that the Yetzahara is compared to chametz. And all of a sudden on Shavuos, we're bringing shtei lechem made out of chametz. So Maharal said, yes, exactly. The Torah wants to stress to you that the Torah that the Torah was given specifically to people with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah doesn't get in the way of Torah. Torah is the remedy and the cure for the Yetzirah. What the Torah wants to go into the chuppah with is a Yetzirah that's willing to give itself to a Torah and learn to be molded by it and learn to marry it, to learn to be controlled by it. But not somebody without a Yetzirah. Somebody said to the Chazanish, trying to describe how great somebody was, said, I don't think he has the Yetzirah. So the Chazanish said, if he doesn't have a Yetzirah, then he's a Baal Mum. If he doesn't have a Yetzirah, he's a Baal Mum. A human being has the Yetzirah. It's not, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to Har Sinai, and the Malachim said, you know, why are you giving Moshe Rabbeinu, Yilud Isha, why are you giving human beings a Torah? So you would have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to say that a human being is made out of a Dhamma and made out of a Neshama. Neshama is greater than Malachim. So we're greater than Malachim, and that's why Hashem is giving it to us. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim that, do you have a desire for women? Does Lo Tinaf apply to you? No. Do you ever get angry or jealous and want to kill somebody? Or that Lo Tirtzach or Lo Tachmod, not to be jealous, applies to you? No. We're the ones that have the Yitzhar. So the Torah is for us. The Torah is specifically for people who are Yetzahara challenged, like we all are. The Torah is specifically for people who have that mix of a behema drives in them, and then this neshama on top that's meant to control the reins. That's who the Torah is specifically given to. And the harder it is, the more reward there is. Somebody came to the Chafetz Chaim. He was so upset. He said, the entire Zman, I couldn't learn. I struggled. I tried, but I got through one. I'm on daf. I got through one daf. Chafetz Chaim said, "What daf? What are you up to?" Now I'm up to daf Gimel, and he's like crying. Only up to daf Gimel. I've been here for so long. I can't learn. It took me forever just to get there. I'm on daf Gimel. So Chafetz Chaim said to him, "Kuf Gimel?" He said, "No, daf Gimel. Only Gimel." He said, Kuf Gimel. No. Rebbe, I'm on daf Gimel. I know you say the Chofetz Chaim. Rebbe, Chofetz Chaim, whatever. Gimel. Kuf Gimel. Psh. So he thought he can't hear. He's old. He doesn't get me. So Chofetz Chaim said, wait, let me show you something. Avast Rabbi Nassan. He said, it says in Avast Rabbi Nassan, it says, Tov Pam Achas Bekoshi Mimea Pa'amim Berevach. Something like that. It's better one time with difficulty than 100 times easily. So you're on daf Kuf Gimel, 103. You're not on daf 3, you're on 103. You did 100 times more. Because when something is difficult, something comes harder. When you overcome a challenge, when you so much didn't want to learn that, and you made yourself. It was so hard for you to understand it, and you made yourself. You so much wanted to go somewhere else, and you fought it, and you did it. So that's worth, and according to how hard it was for you, that many times more of a mitzvah. And therefore, we should be zocha to call upon our human trait of free will, make the right decision tonight, and the right decision every night and every day from now and on, to go into Shavuos being ready, excited to receive the Torah as human beings receiving the Torah, with an awareness and an understanding that we have a Yetzirah, and that's why the Torah was specifically meant to us, and at the heart of the challenge is the more schar that there'll be. What is